Hello, everybody. Today is Saturday, 28th September 2024. We're gathered here for the 151st session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisarana. I'd like to warmly welcome Venerable Homa Agamadhamma Kusala Thero for this session. I'd also like to welcome everyone who has participated now via Zoom and who will be participating via Facebook live stream and will be watching later. Our program, as usual, will commence with the in-session practice of mindfulness, and we will then follow it with a talk about the today's topic, which is interdependence. And it will then be followed by a session of questions and answers and reports sent to us presenting to Bhante for his feedback. And so to begin today's session, I would like to invite Bhante for the in-session practice of mindfulness. Over to you, Bhante.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. Today, I think we can do a mindful sitting session to start the program. For this, you can adjust your seat, make sure that you are balanced and comfortable. Keep your back upright. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes and bring your attention to the present moment. You are seated in a comfortable manner and you have your eyes closed. Notice what you feel in the present moment. Maybe you feel the breathing in your body. Breath goes in and it comes out. Some of you might feel the pressure on your back. Some of you might feel a heartbeat kind of a vibration inside. Whatever the prominent bodily sensation, we use it to be mindful. We use that sensation to maintain our mindfulness there. If it is the breath, notice how the breath goes in and how it comes out. Again, the breath goes in and it comes out. Time to time, you get carried away with various thoughts, memories. Sometimes you feel sleepy. Sometimes certain irritations appear in your body. But among all these things, we can repetitively return our attention back to the breathing. Breath goes in and it comes out. Again, the breath goes in and it comes out. This way, let's try to maintain our mindfulness for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. That's our time to do mindful sitting today. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. With that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. Next on the agenda is the talk on today's topic. We will continue the topic from last week, which is interdependent. I invite Bhante to start the talk today.
Hello, everyone. So this is a continuation from last week. We had this analogy of Tom and Jerry, which I explained last time, the interdependence between good and evil. That was the idea that was behind that analogy. So today we'll take the same topic and we'll try to discuss a bit further of the idea that how good and evil, their interdependence, that we'll discuss a little bit further today. Now, let's say when you don't have any idea about the practice, when you don't worry about your behavior, then we do whatever that comes to our mind. Let's say we don't care whether it is good or bad. We just do it. We go out and enjoy the life. That's how we usually function. We like certain things, we chase after them. Certain things we don't like, so we get rid of them. So this way, we try to behave. We try to enjoy the life. But let's say, depending on some kind of a teaching, you get to know about good and evil. The teaching will tell you that these things are good. Moral conduct is good. These things are bad. That way, the teaching will tell you. Now, based on that, you understand that these things are good. You understand that these things are bad. Based on that teaching, based on that knowledge, you try to do good. You try to get rid of the evil, bad things. You try to get rid of them. You try to only do good. That way, people behave. That is true. In a way, that is fine. That is true. That you can get rid of bad things. You can appreciate the good more and more. That way we can work. That way we can develop. But when it comes to meditation, you get to realize something deeper. Usually the non-meditators, they just think about these things. They just think about these things. They see how these things are good. They think how these things are bad. They think that we have to get rid of the bad things. We have to appreciate the good more and more. That is how we think. But the meditators, they get to experience. In their practice, they get to experience how these things are interconnected. They are interconnected. The good and evil, it's like two sides of the same coin. That experience you get only through meditative practice. You understand how these things are interconnected. How one is energizing, one is powering the other. Right? So that way, initial knowledge is fine. Initial knowledge is useful. But gradually, in your practice, you have to experience these things in your mind. You have to experience them deeper in your mind. That is how you can truly go beyond good and evil. Otherwise, if you think that you should appreciate good, you should get rid of bad. If you think that way, then you won't go beyond good and evil. Because they are interdependent. They are connected. You give power to one, the other will be also there. Like two sides of a coin. If you take one side, then automatically you are taking the other side as well. Right? So that way, we have to understand, we have to experience deeper in our practice how these things are interconnected. How they are dependent on each other. That very experience is life-changing. That very experience will help you go beyond good and evil. So that way we have to develop our meditative practice, and only through the practice we get to realize how these things are interdependent, how you should go beyond these things in order to develop your practice. Right? So that aspect of the practice, that part of the practice, we can discuss today a little bit further. Now, let's say you start your mindfulness practice. We say that mindfully walking, you can practice. Mindfully sitting, you can practice. When you are walking, you bring your attention to the sensations at your feet. When you are sitting, you try to be conscious of your breathing. That way we develop our mindfulness, we develop our practice. Now, usually the sensation that we use as primary object, let it be breath, let it be the sensations at your feet, the sensations that we use as primary object, they are usually neutral sensations. They don't have positive or negative kind of a inclination. They are neutral sensations, right? So that's why it is hard to bring your attention to the breath. That's why it is hard to maintain your attention there. Because these things are neutral sensations. The breath is a neutral sensation. The sensations at your feet, it's a neutral sensation. Usually our mind doesn't attract to these neutral sensations. But as the practice, we intentionally bring our attention to these neutral sensations. Let it be breath. We intentionally bring our attention to the breathing. That way we start our practice. That way we develop our practice. And when we do that, we get to realize the positive sides, the negative sides that are active in our mind. Sometimes there are positive sides, pleasurable things, sometimes painful things. These things appear in our mind. Our mind suddenly get attracted to these things. It's not easy to stay with the neutral sensation. These things grab the mind's attention. That is natural. But little by little, we develop the ability to repetitively return our attention back to the neutral breathing, neutral sensations at your feet. That way we develop. Now, when you do that only, you start to see the real picture in your mind. You have to bring your attention to the neutral ground. Based on that neutral ground, you start your observation. Right? That is why bringing your attention to the breathing is very important. Bringing your attention to the bodily sensations, it's important because those sensations are neutral. Based on the neutral ground, making camp there, you get to see the positives and negatives, good things and bad things in your mind. You get to experience them based on that neutral ground. Relative to that neutral ground only, you get to experience these things. Otherwise, our mind, when we are not meditating, usually jump from one thing to the other, positive to negative, again and again. It is dropping one object and grabbing another. This way our mind functions. But when we bring our attention to a neutral sensation, when we use that as the reference point, then only we see how our mind is. Sometimes it is going to the positive ones, good things. Sometimes it is going to the negative ones, bad things. This is happening repetitively. Some of us, we are more inclined towards positive things. Some of us, we may be more inclined towards negative things. For example, let's say if somebody is suffering with depression, then their mind is more inclined towards negative things. No matter what is out there, they only see the negative parts. No matter what is out there, they try to find something to complain about. Right? So their mind is more attracted towards the negative things. That could happen. There could be somebody else who is more attracted to the positive things. That too could happen. Right? So this way, when we meditate, we get to see which side our mind is more attracted to. Repetitively, our mind is going to certain objects. What type of objects our mind is attracted to? That you get to see. In a way, based on this neutral ground, based on your observation there, you start to realize what things matter to your mind. What are the things that matter to you, right? Maybe certain family problems appear. You weren't thinking about them before, but soon you get to the meditation, these things appear. So you get to see, okay, these things I am attracted to. These things matter to me. That way you realize. Sometimes positive things come. Good things come. Then you get to realize, okay, these things matter to me. I'm attracted to these things. So that way, gradually you have to develop your practice. And in the process, you get to see the inclination. It is different. It is not equal to all of us. We have a unique inclination. Right? So you have to see which things your mind is attracted to. You have to see that. You have to understand that. Somebody else can't do it for you. Instead, in your meditation, when you do this practice repetitively, you get to see which things grab most of your attention. Maybe some people, they are doubting a lot. They have a lot of questions. So no matter what they do in meditation, again and again, certain doubts appear. Their attention goes to these doubts. Certain questions appear. Their attention goes to these questions. Some people, they come. Attention repetitively goes and start trying to relive those experiences again and again. Right? So this way we can see our minds, each of us, we have a unique inclination towards certain things. So that you get to experience in your meditation. Some of them could be positive, some of them could be pleasurable, some of them could be painful. It doesn't matter which part it is. What matters is how to know them. Is how
and it, sorry Bhante, you're cutting out every now and then. I'm not really sure whether the adjustment of the mic needs to be changed or something.
Is it a connection issue?
I'm sure, but we can't hear some words. Sometimes we can hear, so not really sure what it is.
Is it better now?
It looks to be all right. We'll let you know if anything else happens.
Okay. So that way, we get to experience this behavior, and gradually we can realize how our mind is attracted to certain positive good things, how our mind is attracted to certain negative bad things. What matters is, for a meditator, we are not recommending, we are not suggesting that they get rid of these things. That's not our idea. That's not what we say. Instead, we say just simply understand the behavior. That is important. That is important. All of us, let's say all of us in this group, we all have positive and negative aspects in our mind. Some people are positive, some people are negative, right? All of us, we have certain things. All of us, we have certain addictions. All of us, we have certain faults in us, right? That is human. Don't try to think that these things shouldn't be there. That is not the case. That's not how you should approach them. Instead, you have to understand this is the nature of human mind. Certain positive things are there. Certain negative things are there. Sometimes you do good things. Sometimes you do bad things. Sometimes you are kind. So much, right? So what we try to do is we simply try to understand it. We simply try to understand it. We are not trying to do something else. We are not trying to get plan, right? And we are not trying to preach some kind of state of mind. That is not the idea. Some people think that they preach about this ideal state of mind, where only goodies remaining in the mind. No bad is there. That type of ideal state they try to preach. But that's not the reality. That's not the reality. In our practice, the human mind more. We are, right? We have certain positive things. We have certain negative things. And sometimes we do good. Sometimes bad. Sometimes we are attracted to good things. Sometimes we are attracted to bad things, right? So that way, we simply try to know the status of our mind. We are not trying to get rid of any of these things. That is the very idea behind the meditative practice. We embrace our humanness more and more, right? We have faulty situations in our mind, right? Some things are good, some things are bad. That is the very nature of this mind. Understanding this, you will get to go beyond good and evil. Not trying to maintain good and trying to get rid of bad. That is not what we try to do. Instead, simply try to go beyond good and evil. That is important. Usually, know the meditative practice, we think that 10 good things, we want to get rid of bad things. That way only we think. But the meditators know, if you make parts, then the bad will appear. It's like two sides of the same coin. If you want one, automatically be there. So that's why, world, when we establish good only, bad things appear. Establishing good, you can point us at certain people, saying that these people are bad, they are doing bad. That way, the people, they try to point fingers. They try to do this monastic kind of a preaching, saying that these things are good. But at the end of the day, there's no peace achieved in one's mind. Instead, it's a blaming game sometimes. Sometimes it's just shame in one's mind. That is all they have achieved. Because they are trying to go to this ideal state where only good is there. But the meditators know that this is simply the nature of our mind. What can we do? We simply can know these states. When there is good in your mind, when you are kind, just simply know that you are kind. Simply know that these good things are in your mind. Sometimes when there are bad things, when you are cruel, just simply know that there are bad things, that you are behaving in this cruel nature. That very knowing is what's important. Little by little, when you maintain that knower, when you maintain that knowing, gradually you get to go beyond these things. Initially, it is difficult. Initial parts are difficult. Initial parts are tiresome. But gradually, you have to be patient and little by little develop your practice. They give this analogy of a mango, right? You get a sweet mango at the end of the day. But in order for you to get that sweet mango, it has to go through certain phases. Initially, it could be bitter. When it grows a little, it becomes sour in taste, right? Even after few more days, few more weeks, only the mango becomes ripened and sweet, right? So it has gone through certain phases. Only by going through those phases, you get a sweet mango, right? So same goes for the practice as well. When you think that you should suddenly appear sweet in your practice, it is not realistic, right? They try to force it. That's not how it works. You have to naturally allow it to appear. You have to allow it to mature. You have to have patience in the process. Do your part. Simply keep on practicing. And gradually the practice will ripen and it will give a sweet fruit that you can enjoy. Right? You can't force it. Even nowadays, especially in countries like Sri Lanka, they even force the mangoes to be sweet. Right? That is how it is here. They don't allow the mango to go through natural phases. Instead, they try to use some chemicals and force the mango to be sweet. That way, they try to get results. But those results are no good. Those results might be cancerous, right? So same goes for the practice. Initially, it could be difficult. But you keep at it. You know, have your patience and little by little, every day, 1 hour or certain time, just do your practice. Daily life also, try to maintain certain level of mindfulness. That way, when you gradually do, you start to realize that your practice matures. It becomes a sweet kind of a experience, right? So that way, you have to gradually grow. Initial phases, I agree, they are difficult. I agree, it is tiresome. But gradually, you have to allow those things to mature. And when they mature, you realize now the practice has become sweet. Now you can see how comfortable, how peaceful your mind is. That's the very idea that you have to develop in your practice. And what happens when you grow in your meditation? Initially, let's say there were like two extremes that good and evil, pleasurable and painful things. Let's say that way there were two extremes. Usually our mind is jumping from one extreme to the other. That is the natural behavior of our mind. Let's say you have a spouse or somebody that you love, right? That very love will turn into hate within few minutes, right? It turns into hate. Some relationships, they are continuously shifting between love and hate. One moment you are in love, next moment you hate them. Again and again, it is shifting between these two extremes. That way our mind is usually functioning, right? But the meditator, they start to bring their attention to the neutral grounds. They try to somehow, with the help of the practice, use this neutral ground to do the observation. Little by little, they start the observation relative to that neutral sensation. Let's say the breath. That's a neutral sensation. So little by little, what you experience is that your mind is recovering from those two extremes. What are the extremes? Good and evil, or pleasure or pain. Those two extremes, your mind is recovering little by little. Your mind is becoming more and more neutral. That way you see that with the help of your practice, your mind goes beyond good and evil. Good things come, but your mind is not shaken too much. Bad things come, but your mind is not shaken too much. Right? So that way, with the help of this neutrality, with the help of this bringing your attention to these neutral sensations, you get to go beyond this good and evil. You get to go beyond these two extremes. How you go beyond? Only by knowing them. You are experiencing these extremes time after time. In your practice, thousands and thousands of times, you experience good and evil. You experience pain and pleasure. When you experience them repetitively, they lose their value. They lose their power. Let's say certain thoughts, maybe lustful thoughts. Most of the practitioners, they are afraid of lust. They say that lust can't come in the practice. But if you know the correct instructions, let it be. Let it be. Know that there is lust. Right? Your mind is lustful. That very knowing, you get to experience these things. In your practice, you are experiencing this lust arising in your mind time after time. Maybe thousands and thousands time you experience. And when you experience, they lose their power. Some time back, maybe a couple of years back, there was this Vietnamese monk who was meditating here. He knew the basic practice. He knew how to bring attention to the breathing. He knew how to bring attention to the sensations at his feet. That way he knew. But one day he came and certain kind of a complaint saying that in his meditation, these lustful thoughts arise. And these thoughts are centering a certain incident that happened during his lay life. That was his comment. He was asking how to get rid of these thoughts, how to get rid of the lust in my mind. That was his question. But the proper advice he got, he was advised to simply let them come and go. Let these thoughts surround him. Let these memories come. That was the advice. Then he asked, but my attention, the breathing attention won't be there. Right? When those thoughts are allowed, your attention goes to those thoughts. The breathing attention won't be there. Then the advice was, it's fine. Gradually you will recover. Right? So this monk kept practicing. Maybe like few days he kept practicing. He was experiencing all those memories, those incidents. It was like reliving that memory again and again. In your mind, it is replayed. You are reliving that memory. But after a few days, he came and he said, now those memories, that certain incident, it has no value in my mind. No longer those thoughts come. That very incident, it doesn't come no more, he's saying. And he tried this experiment as well. He forcefully remembered those memories and saw what happened. And he realized that even forcefully remembering, giving that fuel to the mind, it won't catch fire. It won't catch fire. You put the thoughts forcefully remembering, but still it won't catch fire. What has happened? This certain incident, these certain memories, they lost their value in the mind. No longer they have any power or control over that person. Right? So what has happened? That is the practice. That is the very practice. When you do this, when you experience these things 1001 times, they loses their power. These two extremes, good and evil, they loses their power. And gradually your mind is settled in the neutrality. Your mind is comfortable in the neutral sensation. But the practitioner, they should know one more thing. Usually people, they get attracted to these neutral sensations. They let go of the two extremes and they become comfortable in the middle. Right? Middle is the neutral. They become comfortable there. But Buddha's advice is that you shouldn't hold on to the middle. If you hold on to the middle, then that too becomes an obstacle to your practice. The neutral sensation, you hold on to that neutral sensation. You let go of the two extremes and you hold on to the middle. That too is incorrect. Initially we hold on to the middle, but gradually when you develop in your practice, you have to understand that middle part, it's too is connected to those two extremes. If you hold on to middle, eventually those two extremes will arise once more. Right? So in your practice, you hold on to the middle initially, but gradually you realize this middle too is connected to those two extremes. Right? So Buddha says, Buddha's advice is not to hold on to the middle. How not to hold on to the middle? When obstacles come, when your peace is broken in your practice, just simply accept that. Notice when your mind is comfortable and peaceful, notice there is liking in your mind. When certain irritations appear, notice there is disliking in your mind. Likes and dislikes. They will tell you how much you are caught in the middle. Right? Most people, they need this tranquility in their meditation. If they don't get that, they say it's a bad meditation session. That's their idea. Why? Because they are caught in the middle. They say that this tranquility should be there. There's liking in their mind for that tranquility. When it is not there, there is disliking in their mind. When they go to the office, they have disliking in their mind. When they face troubles, they don't like it. When they face certain illnesses, they hate it. Right? So that way, they always try to be comfortable try to be tranquil in their mind. But that's not true. That's not the true practice. Instead, you have to tell them those likes and dislikes, they represent how much you are caught in the middle. Now, your practice would be to simply observe those likings and dislikings in your mind. When certain things come, your mind, there is likes. When certain things come, in your mind, there is dislikes. Right? Simply observe this liking and disliking in your mind. That would become your primary practice thereafter. When you are dealing with somebody, there might be some kind of a resistance in your mind. When you are dealing with somebody else, there might be some kind of attraction in your mind. So that way, we repetitively observe likes and dislikes in our mind. We know that certain things there is liking in our mind, certain things there is disliking in our mind. That way we have to maintain our observation. In your mind, let certain things appear and let them disturb you. Try to see when they disturb how your mind is reacting. Again, those disturbances disappear after a while. Try to see how your mind is reacting when those disturbances disappear. So that way, we keep on practicing while noticing the likes and dislikes in our mind. That way, we get to see how much we are caught in the middle. If you are caught in the middle, still, those two extremes will eventually appear. So you have to make sure that you are not caught in the middle. Buddha says, hold on to the middle, let go of those two extremes, but don't get caught there. That is the very idea. So if you get caught in the middle, then those two extremes will eventually appear in your mind. So you have to make sure that you are properly practicing while getting proper instructions. The teachers will tell you that you have to allow these things to come and go. Notice how the peace is broken in your mind, how there is disliking. When peace appears in your mind, how there is liking. That way, you try to observe likes and dislikes in your mind. Even in your daily life, when you go to work, when you deal with family members, when you go to your marketplace, you can see, you can observe these likes and dislikes in your mind. When somebody is coming and talking to us, maybe even before they utter a word, there is judgment in our mind. We are judging based on the appearance maybe. Right? So that way, always liking and disliking is there. You can make that your practice gradually throughout the day. You observe how the liking and disliking appear in your mind. That is a good indication how much you are caught in the middle. If there is no liking and disliking in your mind, then whether you are peaceful or whether you are agitated, it doesn't matter. Whether you have problems or whether you are free of problems, it doesn't matter. Whether you are healthy or whether you are sick, it doesn't matter. Right? That's how the true peace will arise. No matter what happens, your mind is at peace. Whether you are sick or healthy, it doesn't matter. Your peace is there. Whether you have problems or not, it doesn't matter. Your peace is there, right? So that way, you try to develop your practice and see that you are not caught in the middle. And when you are not caught in the middle, that's how you can go beyond these interconnected, interdependent things, right? You know, these things, they are interdependent. When you get one, the other will automatically come. So I have to practice and gradually go beyond these things and make sure that you are you have transcended good and evil. You have gone beyond these things. That's how you can be peaceful forever. Okay, that's all for today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Vante. That was a good ending to our topic, interdependence, that we've been discussing for the last 2 weeks. Next on the agenda, we have the reports and the Q&A session. I'd like to invite Anupama to start this session. I will share the screen for you, Anupama.
Thank you, Sonali. I hope you can hear me clearly. Thank you, Bhante, for that talk. It's a lot to take from there in order to further our practice. I will now move on to the introduction for Mindfulness for Beginners. In a minute, you will see Sonali sharing the screen with you. Most of you are familiar now how to progress with your practice or even start with your mindfulness practice. The screen is taking a little time, but I think most of us are familiar that there are some YouTube videos you can look up, which gives you instructions on how to do mindful walking and how to do mindful sitting. If you could have a look through these and then allocate a small time on a daily basis to start practicing your mindfulness, this is a good start. We advise that you continue this training for a few days until you have completed 2 hours of each practice in total. Once you have this experience under your belt, you can write your reflection report. You can either start it as a question or as a statement, and you can use titles if you would like to, such as mindful walking and mindful sitting or daily mindfulness practice and so on. You can describe what you felt while you were walking or sitting or doing your daily day-to-day work, and you can describe prominent sensations such as the texture of the ground while you were walking, the pressure points that you felt on your soles, and how your body weight shifted from one leg to another, etc. For mindful sitting, similarly, any prominent sensations such as pressure points. Also, additionally, the breathing, the in and out breathing at your nostrils, the movement of your abdomen, etc. Once you have written the report, you can submit it either via Google form or using the email on the screen that's shown to you. And they will then be read here at this session for Bhante's kind feedback. Now I will move on to the mindfulness reports that we have received for today. We have two reports. Report number one. Mindfulness during the day. Writing this report 2 days before returning home from holidays. Noted mindfulness arising spontaneously from time to time. One of the most difficult things to bear, even as a youngster growing up in Sri Lanka, was the high heat from the sun, which was about 28 or 29 degrees. Skin would break up in a rash that was itchy, and mosquito bites emerged as red lumps. This used to be the worst nightmare back then. Now, on holiday in Tokyo, where the daily temperature has regularly been between 34 and 37 degrees, and with high humidity, there was awareness of the heat, but not as a disliked or nightmarish experience. But noted heat as just heat, nothing to complain about. It was a stark change in behavior, which husband also noted and commented on. There had been lots of different excursions in the last 2 weeks. These were enjoyed in the moment, but cannot say much of it was memorable, as cannot remember individual aspects of it. The overall experiences were positive, but without looking at various pictures husband shared, these seemed to be sliding off the mind. Lots of walking done each day, averaging 18,000 steps, and about 35-40% of the time, there was awareness of the walking body, feet movements, weight shifting, and heaviness of breath. Usually the mind is not looking forward to returning to work after holidays. And yet another difference in mind noted. That is, no resistance noted regarding work starting on Monday. We'll not be at the session on Saturday as we'll be on the return flight that day, but I look forward to listening to the recording. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you, Theruvan Saranam. End of report 1.
Okay, when we hear that, now the weather could be bad. But still, it's our mind that is adding most of the suffering. Right? You say that there's this saying that pain is, you can't get rid of it. Pain is there, but suffering is optional. Suffering is the mind-made part. Buddha's analogy of arrows. He says, what happens when an arrow hits you? Then the others answer, Bhante, it is painful. What happens if another arrow hits on the same wound? Then the others say it is extremely painful. What happens when third, fourth arrows hit on the same wound? Right? That's the question. He's saying that first arrow, it's pain. The weather could be bad. You could be sweating, you know, burning sensations, rashes in your body. Those things appear. But those second, third, fourth arrows, they are mind-made, suffering part. You start worrying about these things. In your mind, you suffer a lot based on the weather, based on the rashes, right? That is the nature of the mind. We are adding up to our experience. And we are living this nightmare. That's the thing, right? But meditators, they realize this suffering part, it's considerably reducing. Then the pain you can withstand. It's not that difficult. The pain part, the difficulties in your body, you can withstand. The weather changes, the things that come with the weather changes, or maybe the mosquito bites or leeches, those things, you can withstand. Your body can withstand. But what you can't withstand is the suffering part. That is too extreme, right? The mind-made part. So the meditators, they really experience how the suffering part is reducing considerably. Sometimes short term, you can see that suffering part is building in your mind. But after a few minutes, it is again released. It can't keep on building due to the meditative practice. Why? Because you have trained your mind to let go of these things and come back to the present. Maybe the breathing, maybe the bodily sensations. That training is there in your mind. So that's why the suffering, it can't build up. Short term it builds, but suddenly it lets go and come to the present. Again the pressure appears, again it builds up, again it lets go. Right? So this way, we can function in the world. We'll experience difficult weather incidents. We'll experience these creatures biting us. But we won't suffer over them. That is the change that will come with meditation. Without the suffering part, when you reduce the suffering part, you can comfortably live this life. It's not so difficult, right? Then the second point. The second one was, I made notes, but I can't read them. I can't
Dante
figure it
out. Was it about not, she wasn't not looking forward to returning back to work? That she
That's
had
the third
no...
point. That's the third one. One before that experiences. Okay, I remember. The experiences that you can't recall. Yeah. So that's very nice way to enjoy life, you know. You go through the experiences, you are utterly present and you are enjoying at the moment. Don't think that you are not enjoying at the moment. You are enjoying at the moment, but you won't, you know, hold on to it. When you move on, your mind also moves on. Right? That is the true nature that you should have in your mind. Don't think that you won't enjoy it. That's not the way. That's kind of a pain-seeking behavior. Right? Some people think as meditators, they shouldn't be enjoying anything. Right? They don't even eat good. They think that I shouldn't enjoy food. I shouldn't enjoy traveling. I shouldn't go to the parties. That way they think. Right? That's a pain-seeking behavior that comes in the name of the practice. But in reality, it is a pain-seeking behavior. Whenever you are having a good meal, you'll enjoy it. But you won't think about having the same meal again tomorrow. Right? When you are going through traveling somewhere or hiking or something like that you do, you'll enjoy that scenery. You'll enjoy that experience, but next day you won't hold on to it. That is the true peace. You know, you are really living your life. Whatever the circumstances, maybe you are on a hiking trip, you are living that. Maybe you are traveling in a busy plane, you are living that. Maybe you are having a good meal, you are living that. Whatever you do it wholeheartedly. That is the very idea of this life. Right, we are not saying that you shouldn't be enjoying. You enjoy at the in the moment, you enjoy. Next moment, your reality, your circumstances might be something else. Right? What happens to most of us is we go on a trip for a month, let's say, after a year of walking, year of working, we go on a trip. But after the trip, again, we look forward to the next year's trip, thinking about that traveling throughout the year, right? So you are not really living your life. Instead, you are postponing your life to the next year. You'll enjoy it when you travel again. And the remaining months, you suffer, you earn, you curse yourself, you know? You blame others. That way you spend so many months trying to enjoy those holiday periods only. That's not the way. That shouldn't be the way. Then it's not worth living this life, right? Whatever the circumstances you are enjoying that. It could be a hiking trip. You are enjoying, but you don't have anything to bring forward for the tomorrow. Whenever you are having a meal, you are enjoying that. Let's say you are in a party, you enjoy that. Right? But next day, you won't be thinking about that, trying to relive that experience. That's the very idea. And that is the attitude change that happened when you say that you are no longer, you are resisting, go back to the work. Right? After the trip, you have to return. Most people, they return, they hate that return trip. They don't like it. They don't like going back to work. But in your mind, whatever the current circumstances, your mind is accepting it. Your mind is living in the present. That's the very idea. That is how you can truly enjoy this life. That is how you can truly live this life. Otherwise, what we are mostly doing is postponing. Living. We are postponing. We say that next year I'll relive. you know, this holiday period I lived, next year I'll relive again. These remaining months, you'll be hating yourself. That's not the way. Whatever you do, whether you are traveling, whether you are at home, whether you are at work, whatever you do, you can live in that moment. You can enjoy life there. That is the very idea of the practice. Thank you for sharing those insightful comments.
Thank you, Bhante. I will now move on to report number 2. Sitting meditation. Primary object, watching the breath and where the mind moves to. At the start of the session, mind was on future and past events, but soon came to the breath. The breath was more prominent at the left nostril and then broke up. Chest expansion and contraction continued even when breath not felt. Mind went to discomfort and then pain in hip. Mind watching the change in nature of pain, the throbbing sharpness, warmth, as well as how the place of pain moved from hip to knee to leg. Mind went to areas in the body not in pain and altered between this and the breath. The urge to move was intense. Moved position mindfully and opened eyes briefly. 40 minutes had passed. Made a determination to continue the sit for an hour as planned. Mind went back to breath. Face felt distorted, parts missing, but in and out breaths noted to be present and subtle. The body noted to rock forward and back, and after a short time in a circular motion for a while, sat for 1 hour. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. End of report 2.
Now, in your report, the earlier part, it is related to the discussion we had today. You can see these two extremes appearing in your mind. Sometimes pleasure, sometimes pain. Sometimes certain thoughts, which are good. Sometimes certain thoughts which are bad. So this way our mind is again and again moving towards these good and evil things, towards these extremes. But your attention, you are observing relative to the breath. You make camp there. That is your reference point, the breathing, which is neutral, right? Relative to that only you are experiencing this. It goes to positive, again, come back to the breathing. Negative, it come back to the breathing. So this way, this observation is there. Your mind is repetitively changing back and forth, right? So allow this change to happen. Allow it to happen. It will naturally happen. Positive things come, negative things come, good and evil. They appear again and again. You allow this process to happen, simply keep on your observation, right? Relative to the breathing, you observe, right? That process is meditation. That process will help you to go beyond good and evil, right? That's the very idea of the practice, and that's what I tried to mention earlier as well. Then, towards the last part of your practice, let's say you made a determination to sit for 1 hour, right? Sometimes towards 40 minutes, pain appears. Pain appears. And our natural inclination is to get up. Make yourself comfortable again. But for the practitioners, we suggest some other alternative method. We suggest experiment with your pain, right? That too is an important part of the practice. Most people, they don't like this part. They hate pain. They don't like to experiment with pain, right? Because we have lived our life maybe taking painkillers most of the time. So we prefer avoiding pain. But in your practice, you reach a certain level where you get to experience pain, It too is a part of the practice, and that can do marvels in your life if you can do that experiment. Experimenting with pain. And let's say sitting posture, maybe like 40 minutes into the sitting, you start to feel pain appear. Gradually it is appearing little by little, maybe your kneecaps, maybe the hip joint, maybe certain muscles. That way, little by little, pain appears. Initially, it is more like an irritation. Gradually, it develops into pain, right? So, our natural tendency is to change the posture, to get up, right? That's our natural tendency. But we say, just withstand that pain and see what is happening in the future. If you don't change the posture, what will happen? That is what we say, experimenting with pain. And when that happens, initially the pain was minor, the breathing was prominent. But now, little by little, the pain is increasing, developing, right? And it is neck to neck with the breathing. You can see that your attention shifts between those two. Breathing and the pain, they are neck to neck. But at a certain point, the pain will be greater. It will go beyond a certain level and you can't no more feel the breathing. The breathing is there, but you can't maintain your attention because the pain is extreme. These things you have to experience in your practice and see how you feel pain. It's a whole new experience. And initially we feel this solid pain, like a single pain in your body. Leg is aching, paining, a solid pain you'll feel. But when you do your mindful practice, little by little, you realize this pain, it's a combination of pain bubbles. It's not a solid pain, right? Only going through this experience, you get to realize it. Otherwise, our mind is usually grabbing onto this pain as a solid pain. But the practitioners, when they experiment with pain, when they observe it mindfully, they realize this is not a solid pain. It's a combination of pain bubbles. And those pain bubbles, they are not stable. They appear, they like burst, and they disappear. One moment it is painy, next moment it is totally peaceful, released, right? So those pain bubbles appear, they burst, they disappear. Some other place another pain bubbles appears, burst, disappears. Some other place another pain bubble appears, burst, disappears. So that way you see how this pain is not a solid pain. Instead, it's a collection of pain bubbles that are appearing, bursting, and disappearing, right? So that's a unique experience that you can go through. And it'll tell you a lot about how other people perceive pain. Some people, they like pain, right? There are certain people who like pain. Even in this sexuality, some people, they are inclined towards feeling pain, right? So those things, in our meditation, we get to experience. When it reaches a certain level, you can feel whether it is pain or pleasure. There's a confusion, right? And when you feel extreme levels of pain, right, when you feel extreme levels of pain, when you get real release after a while, let's say you feel extreme level of pain, you change your posture, you got release, right? When you get release after feeling extreme pain, you get some kind of a high state, like a dopamine shot or something like that, right? Only going through the pain, you feel that high part. Right, so that's why maybe some people are addicted to those, you know, extreme sports and things like that. They go through that life-threatening situation, and afterwards they feel the high. right? Afterward, they feel the high, right? So that's that way, experimenting with pain, it's a totally new avenue. Most of us, we don't dare go there, right? But for the practitioners, we say, little by little, experiment with pain. Those last 20 minutes, 40 to 1 hour, that last 20 minutes, that will allow you. And one day, if you are really interested in the practice, one day you might wait probably like 1.5 hours and see the real nature of pain. It will be extreme, but still it will be a whole new experience. And that is how the posture will be developed, right? Maybe 20 minutes they can sit. Beyond that, they can't do. They have to change it. But if you want to develop the posture, you have to go through this thing. And one day, if you sit for 1.5 hours, next day, 1 hour would be just fine, right? That is how it is developing. So it's up to you. Yeah, I'm not saying just do it today. Some could be difficult. But little by little, experiment with pain and see these different facets of pain, right? If you go through these experiences, after a while you realize you don't no longer need painkillers to survive those mild headaches and stuff like that, right? When you get an illness, you won't complain so much, you know, giving headaches to even the family members. You won't complain so much when you know your pain, right? You can survive your life much easier if you know pain, if you have experimented with pain, right? In the bodily difficulties will be there because greater levels of pain, and compared to them, this is nothing. And if you wait long enough, one day, in a sitting session, you get to experience death as well. You get to experience death as well. Through pain, it'll come, right? When pain reaches a certain level, it is just like death.
Feels like dying,
right? There's a certain limit you can bear. Certain limit, when you pass that limit, it is like dying. It is like dying, the extreme pain in your body. And you feel like you are fainting. Experiences are there for a person who would like to experience with pain. But I have to tell you, take it little by little. Don't try to do it suddenly. Gradually take it and see how much you are willing to experiment with pain. And more you experiment, easier for you to survive this world, it will be easier for you to survive these illnesses, it will be, and easier for you to face your own death one day, because that experience you can't avoid. No, that experience you can't avoid, that you have to go through. Maybe you may have to die in extreme pain, who knows? There's no guarantee, right? Some people say, I would die in my sleep. It'll be really peaceful. That way they think. But I know one of my relatives who died during sleep, and seeing him in the morning, there were signs of struggle. Right? So it wasn't so peaceful, I guess. Right? There were signs of struggle and defecated himself. Right? So that means gone through certain difficulty, definitely, right? We think that died in his peace, his sleep, so peaceful, not sure, right? So we don't know, maybe we'll have to go through extreme pain when we die, when that day comes, right? Are you prepared? That's the question. So for a person who experiences with pain, for a person who go through these type of experiences, it won't be that much of a surprise. It won't be that much of a surprise when the death comes, right? So those aspects of the practice, we encourage you to experience take it gradually, not within a day or two. Little by little, try and see. One day you will be able to withstand these things. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante, for all those tips and guidance for everyone's practice. We now move on to the Q&A session. Is that right, Sonali? If anyone has any questions or comments to make, please raise your Zoom hand and we will invite you to unmute yourself. There are no Zoom hands today, so I believe there's no questions or comments for today. I just wanted to make a comment, Bhante. I recall you mentioned this phrase once before as well. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Is that right? Yeah. So, yes, thank you for that reminder. I think it's a very, very helpful perspective.
Yeah, that's Buddha. Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional, right? So that's where he gives those analogy of arrows, right? So that suffering part is mind-made. Some people, they live in hell because of this suffering part. Pain, you can somehow survive. Those bodily difficulties, you can survive. But mind-made part is extreme. That might even make somebody, you know, take their own life. That much extreme, that difficult. So they suicide themselves because of the suffering part. So try to get rid of that and you'll be just fine.
Thank you, Bhante. I think that's a good way perhaps to end the session. Sonali, I will hand over to you.
Thank you, Vanupama, and thank you, Bhante. We are slightly over time, so it is time to end the session. So before we end it, on behalf of all the organizers, I'd like to thank Bhante, Venbroho, Magamadam, Kosalathera for your continued guidance every week on our program. And of course, the chief abbot of Nisaranwane who initiated this program, Bhante Udeyiriyagamadamma Jeeva Mahathero. May these merit help them improve their own practice as well. And thank you to the organizers who are behind the scene managing the program and to everyone who sent us reports and participated in today's session as well. And anyone who will be listening via live stream or listening to us later on. As usual, we will be meeting at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time every week and next week as well. So we all wish you a happy and mindful week. Thank you.